Blog Talk Radio. And that, boys and girls, is my favorite song.
That is hot.
Isn't that a good song? And the words are awesome. And for those of you that want to know, that is actually, it's called Glory Box. Mm-hmm. And it's called, or it's by Portishead. It's called Glory Box and it's by Portishead. So.
Okay, cool.
Awesome song.
Good morning, people out in the universe. Yay!
Good morning or good night or good afternoon, wherever you may be.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, we are actually listened to all over, which is awesome. That's awesome. Except in China, because we keep losing the servers there, but whatever. That's an inside joke. I'll tell you about it later.
Oh. See, I like inside jokes. I just don't like when I'm not inside them. Well,
you can get all up inside this, honey. Ooh. Okay, so before we get too bad, because I've already been warned.
Oh, wait, Corey, I love you. All right, everybody, your bosses are gone, right? You're going to turn me down just a little bit. Your kids' ears are covered.
Oh.
You ready? 1, 2, 3, penis! All right.
That totally was not me.
And if you didn't listen to the show last night, you have no idea why I just screamed that out.
Yeah, that was it. You know, okay, and Corey already told me to the white meat, so I think she's just going to forego the surface abrasion with you and go straight to cutting. I don't even know. All right, so let's go and introduce this real quick now that you've gotten us in trouble. it's afternoon, morning, whatever. It's time for the news, and usually this would be Corey and Ginger. But Corey is MIA. Well, we know where she is. But to us, you know, to the news, she's MIA. She's not here. And she left us to run everything. And by us, I mean Snow White. That's me, the good one today. And Ginger Ox, who is actually the naughty one and deserves a spanking.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
She totally does. She totally does. I'm telling you.
Thank you later.
Yeah. So, and again, Corey, if you're listening, that wasn't me.
I'm sorry, I'm in a mood this morning, so I'm going to end up getting in all sorts of trouble.
Awesome. And I was hoping if I played Glory Box that it would help us be a little calm, but apparently not, because now we have penis talk. Ow. I just said it. Alright, anyway. So, do you want to go first or me?
I can go first.
You go first. Put your thing down.
All right. I gotta stop laughing. All right, I can do this. Blizzard acknowledges.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, Blizzard acknowledges impact on WoW from SWTOR Star Wars. The Old Republic, yes, GamePolitics.com. For the first time publicly, World of Warcraft maker Blizzard has acknowledged the Star Wars The Old Republic as having some impact on declining World of Warcraft subscriptions. Yes, because your game sucks nowadays, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Blizzard acknowledged to Eurogamer that the decline in World of Warcraft subscriber numbers has to at least be attributable to Star Wars The Old Republic. Of course, some of the decline is attributable to the natural decline most MMOs face after a lengthy lifespan. For example, in 2010, WoW had 12 million subscribers. A year later, it had dipped to 10.3 million. I want to say, was that about the same time that you came out with Wrath of the Lich King? Just saying.
Yeah, that really wasn't that.
No.
It wasn't that good, guys.
No, they went from Burning Crusades, which I loved, mm-hmm. to Wrath of the Lich King, which was just awful. Plain awful.
Now, okay, there were a couple of quests that I adored.
All right, yes.
That I really adored.
Some of the quests were a lot of fun, but the dungeons, everything, the raids,
they were not,
no.
No.
Not good.
Not good.
They say we certainly do look at where WoW players go, and we have a very smart bunch of guys who do our analytics for us. This is coming from John LeGrave, World of Warcraft producer. He says, of course, people are trying Star Wars. Our development team are also trying Star Wars. I'm one of the few people who's still played it, actually. But, yeah, we've seen a dip in subs. It certainly has to be at least... I can't read. It certainly has to at least be attributable to the Old Republic, but it's also attributable to people who want to wait and get Mist of Pandaria, so it's not surprising.
Oh, my God. Dude, really?
You can keep your stupid flipping pandas. If you could see the motion that I'm making right now.
Yeah.
All right. So they say, are they going elsewhere? Yes, they are. We don't have a lock on all the best games in the world. Skyrim was an amazing game. The exodus and subscribers has forced Blizzard to refocus the game slightly. Now new players can play World of Warcraft Trial up to player level 20 for free. And to entice players back into WoW, they are offering current players special rewards for bringing former players back in WoW. They say one thing is for certain, World of Warcraft won't be going free-to-play anytime soon. Right now, we're very happy with the subscription system with World of Warcraft. We think it works very well. Mike Morhaim talks about the value we give you for that price point, and that's a fairly legitimate statement. Certainly a very cheap form of entertainment. So, yeah, we are comfortable with the subscription system. I won't say never on that, but gosh, not now, and it's been 7 years. You think we would have gotten there before now, so I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
All right, so here's the deal, dude. I loved WoW. I played WoW for years and years and years and too many hours that I cannot even count. I think I have like 385s that are parked, sitting. I did raids. I did dungeons. I did PvP. FYI, your PvP sucked when you took the timers down. You started making them like 20 minutes long, and that was it.
Yeah.
No. I loved those battles that literally lasted all night. I loved that. And then you start letting, like, these higher levels into Wintergrasp and whatnot, which totally warped the balance.
Dude, I know. I went in there at the appropriate level for Wintergrasp, yeah. And I got my butt handed to me by a couple of level 85s, and then they, like, pointed at me and laughed. I'm like, well, that's stupid.
Exactly. And, all right. You killed Twinking, which, all right, I understand in a way, but at the same time, Twinking is a very big thing inside MMOs.
Yeah.
You killed that. You killed a lot of your hardcore gamers.
Yeah.
All right. So then you came out with these dungeons that had, you know, the heroic mode, but even the heroic mode, me and the person that I play with mainly, he plays a healer. We would run through those dungeons nonstop. He wouldn't even have to stop for mana.
Uh-huh. That was me and my shaman, dude. I never stopped.
Never. He played a druid, and it was nonstop. And I ran through with my death knight, and between the death knight and his druid, we didn't have to stop. We fought from the first mob all the way to the boss.
Yep.
There was no waiting. There was no mana. There was no healing, or at least no, you know, healing up on your own. None of that. And nobody died. It was great. Well, all right, let me say, it was great in the form that nobody died. It sucked in that I wasn't challenged. You dumbed down the game so hard with Wrath of Lich King that I just wanted to cry. And then these raids.
Hey, Ginger, we need to move on.
Move on. My bad.
That's all right.
I killed it. Okay.
I let you go for a little bit, but we need to move on.
Blizzard, I hate you.
We can save that for Thursday because this is a news show. This is not rant. This is news. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I have something about one of my favorite games, or one of my favorite game series, I should say, Dragon Age. Love it. Apparently, BioWare has canceled Exalted March, which was supposed to be a DLC for Dragon Age 2. The studio was calling it an expansion, but it's just a DLC. But the studio actually hinted that the development team has been shifted to a future project that might be Dragon Age related, which in public relations speak means it is. If they say might be, if they even hint at it, that means it is. So, they said that the team has fully moved on to the next thing. And this was said by Mark Darrow, which is a BioWare executive producer on Twitter. And he says, we'll be very actively looking for feedback on the next Dragon Age title, and we'll be showing the game more than before as it develops. This is off Game Politics, by the way. And while Darrow did not emphatically say that the Exalted March development team has been moved on to a new Dragon Age project, given their expertise and focus on that franchise, it's not hard to draw the conclusion that they will be working on a new Dragon Age game project. Now, I want to talk about Dragon Age for a little bit and why I think that they actually took them off the expansion. I personally liked Dragon Age 2, not as much as Dragon Age 1, because Dragon Age 2 was a little too easy, the gameplay was a little off. The storyline was short, it was a lot shorter than I remember, and it really could have used some really good DLCs, but it apparently rubbed a whole bunch of people wrong. A whole bunch, and it got a lot of negative publicity, not a lot of really vicious backlash. And I think that's why they're moving them on to another. Excuse me, I just burped. Luckily, it wasn't loud. That's why they're moving the development team onto another project, is because they want to like leave this one alone. They'll be like, well, we're totally done with this one. Let's make another one and make up for this game that apparently everybody hated, which I didn't. I have it. I still play it. I like it.
And, you know, maybe that's a good thing. I mean, because I know a lot of you developers out there try to fix what you put out that was borked. And you just make it worse.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is. If there's some kind of correlation between this. But, you know, you break something horribly and then you try to fix it and it's just even worse than when you started.
A good example of that is Vanguard.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Did you ever play Vanguard?
Oh, I wanted to play, but
okay,
I never
no, girl.
It.
They totally put out this game, and I played it because I am all about MMOs. Love them. So I played this game, and I really wanted it to be good because, I mean, the graphics, it was more kind of like EQ2, but a little less than EQ2. But I'm not really all about graphics. I'm about storyline and about rich quests and stuff like that. So I wanted this game to be good, and so I went to play it. And it was broken. There were so many bugs. And I'm not talking about the normal bugs you get when you first have a release.
Uh-huh.
This was like game-stopping, game-breaking bugs.
Oh, and that is never a good thing.
No, it was bad. And then there was like very little to do. There was really no tutorial at all. So you pretty much were thrown in this game and you're like, here you go. Figure it out. You know?
I hate those.
And while I'm not a noob when it comes to MMOs, you know, I'm not a newbie. I know what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
Still, this game had a lot of different features that no other game had had, and they could have done really, really well, but they didn't teach you how to use them. So, but anyway, that's an example.
This is the one that was supposed to have, like, the whole generational play, and you're supposed to actually be able to lead the, was it a monarchy?
I think, I don't know. I don't remember.
Because I remember hearing about it while I was playing Dark Age of Camelot, and I was really excited. But then, like, it kind of just sputtered, and I was like...
Yeah, it was bad. It was pretty bad. There was another game who did the same thing. Horizons, I think it's called. I remember.
I missed that one totally.
Yeah, it wasn't really touted that much, but I played it anyway. Cause it was some game where you got to play a dragon. And it was actually, like, the idea was great, but again, it was one of those things where they just kind of left it. They're like, okay, well, we're just going to move on to something else. We're not going to try to fix this too much, but they tried to fix Vanguard, and they just made it worse, so I think they eventually just left it alone.
Yeah.
But I do believe that's why they left Dragon Age.
Yeah. All right, so what have I got? Revenge will be served March 12th. Yay! Oh, wait, no, March 2012. I can't read for crap. All right, so hotly anticipated Battle Racer Wrecked Revenge Revisited confirmed for release on the 28th of March 2012. Yay!
Yay!
All right, so, yeah, yay! 505 Games is totally... Like, totally!
Oh, my God!
I just need to be, like, twirling hair and popping gum.
Totally!
I'm sorry, I... took some allergy medicine earlier, so I'm all kinds out of it.
Now she's goofy.
Mm-hmm. 505 Games is today, not totally, delighted to finally announce that Wrecked Revenge Revisited will be available to purchase on March 28th, 2012. The much-requested title will be available on both Xbox Live Arcade and for the 360, which of course we know, and the PlayStation. A spiritual successor to 2004's critically acclaimed fan favorite Mashed, also from developer Supersonic, Wrecked Revenge Revisited amps up the addictive, vindictive gameplay with the aggressive battle mode featuring outrageous weapons for exciting enemy annihilation and local, online, and co-op play for up to four players. Solo players can also enjoy the championship mode featuring 24 challenges to beat. Success wins players' livery, new car parts, and goodies. Weapons make a triumphant return in Wrecked Revenge Revisited. That's a long one. All right, so with 14 fun and explosive ways to bring a smile to the player's face as the opposition is laid to waste, including five different types of airstrike alone. Weapons include proximity mines, flamethrower, mortar, machine gun, homing missile, shotgun, taser, and more. Serving the fan community, developer Supersonic has paid tribute to Mashed insanely popular Polar Wharf track with the new Ice Bridge track. Peter Williamson, managing director at Supersonic, says, "We knew very early on that we wanted a track inspired by Polar Wharf from MASH." All right, so what else we got? It's going to be launched on the 28th. They are not giving me a price. PlayStation Network version not available in North America. So only you Xbox Live users, or at least Xbox users, are going to be able to play this. At least here in the U.S. Yay!
Yay!
And so it's all quiet or something.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. I was reading over my next story. I'm sorry.
Oh. No, that's fine. That's fine. I do that all the time.
I got distracted.
I do that. No biggie.
I got distracted. Okay, so the one I have, I'm actually excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say something, and this is going to let everyone know what it's about. You ready? Foos.
Foos?
Foos.
Foosa.
Think about it. Foos Roda? Hello?
I have no idea what that is.
You suck. Anyway, so.
Well, yes, I do.
Woohoo! moving on. For those of you in the know, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Skyrim. That's right, boys and girls. Skyrim Dragonborn. Foos Roda. Anyway, so apparently, there's going to be a Skyrim DLC coming out. Yay! It's called Dawnguard. And Bethesda actually hints that it could be somewhat similar to having Elder Scrolls content. Listen up. This is from, where is this from? Nowgamer.com. And it says, Skyrim has just gotten a new patch on PC in the 1.5 update, and it's headed to consoles soon, but it's not quite there yet. But a new trademark listing from ZeniMax Media could hint at content in the long-awaited Skyrim DLC. The Dawn Guard joined the Red Guard as a Bethesda trademark. The latter was a suffix of a 1998 Elder Scrolls action-adventure and also a human faction in Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. So this is actually, like, you know, from Elder Scrolls. Dawn Guard relates to computer game software for use with computers and video game consoles, downloadable computer game software offered via the internet and wireless devices. So this is actually super excited. Skyrim has a DLC. For those of you who love that game, I know I do. It's really, really good. It's really, really hard. I love it. You know I love it hard. Mm-hmm.
And I'm all muted. I'm all like, all right. I hate this. Australia, what the hell is wrong with you? Seriously, do you not listen to us?
Remember, we're in the morning. We're in the morning. Remember.
Seriously.
You said the double hockey sticks.
Oh. I can say that in the morning. That's fine.
Well, no, you have a tendency to say more.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right. So Australia's R18+ legislation passes lower house. Seriously, what's wrong with you guys? Are you not listening to us? All right, so Australia's R18+ legislation has passed the House of Representatives, with advocates hoping that it will be adopted by the Senate at some point. This puts the adult classification that most Australian citizens have been asking for multiple years on track to becoming law by early 2013. In order to pass through the Senate, the bill will require the support of either the Coalition or the Greens. Both support the R18+ classification. Oh, wait, no, take this back. I'm totally out of it today. I like R18+. Oh,
yes,
yes. Tells you how bad my head is today. We like R18+.
Yes, that means that the people in Australia can actually play adult games.
Instead of it being totally, never mind. Some of y'all are listening to us. My bad. My apologies. This is why I don't take Benadryl. I can't. Benadryl is like alcohol for me. My head just goes out the window. That means
I could take advantage of you?
You totally could, and I'd totally let you. Three, four shots won't bother me. One little bitty Benadryl, no.
Anyway, moving on, back to the story.
So that passed. So, yay! Now it's got to go through the rest, and hopefully soon you will have an R18+ rating, so you can play adult games. So, you know, things like, was it Mortal Kombat? Yeah, Mortal Kombat can be played.
Yeah, what in the world? Mortal Kombat? I know, right? Really?
I have no idea. All right, but since that was a short one, can I grab another one?
I guess so, gosh.
All right. We were just talking. No, you just did that one, I think. Okay, so...
I have to ask you not to take any more Benadryl.
No, I'm sorry. Six Waves LOL app lays off development staff. This is not good, but I'm glad they waited until after the holidays. Social game studio Six Waves LOL app has laid off its development staff to focus on publishing games. The company will apparently no longer make any games internally as part of a new reorganization. Six Waves LOL Apps is currently fighting a game cloning lawsuit filed against it by mobile studio SpryFox. SpryFox filed a lawsuit in January claiming that Six Waves LOL Apps blatantly copied its game Triple Town when it created Yeti Town. Six Waves LOL Apps will now focus on working with independent developers who launch and grow their mobile and social games. This is coming from chief executive Rex Nig. NG? That's a weird last name, dude. All right. Said in a statement sent to TechCrunch, as a result, we have restructured the company to focus on key functions, which include developer outreach, product advisory, user growth initiatives, and our publishing platform. So I'm sorry to anybody who lost your jobs. Come over here and work with us.
Right?
Yes. Totally.
Yeah, boy.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're hot.
I have a... Especially if you're hot. Mm. Yeah. Okay, I actually have a story that involves my two favorite things in the world. Well, not the SCX, but...
I was excited, really?
Doesn't involve that, so I guess I should say two of my favorite things, not my two favorite. But anyway, music and gaming. That's right, boys and girls, I love music and gaming. Apparently, a London-based dubstep duo, Nero, have launched a live rig on their official website, which gives fans a chance to listen to their music while playing an 8-bit game aptly titled Nero. So it's kind of like an old-school 8-bit game, you know what I mean? Awesome. The game, which is an 8-bit homage to Final Fight or Streets of Rage, lets players beat up various street thugs while listening to one of the group's many tunes.
That's awesome.
I know. I think that is like the coolest way to tout your album ever. And they actually give you some intro text from the game, so listen up. It says, the year is 2808. The world is a dangerous place. Crime and corruption is widespread. To get away from the grim reality of society, many people are living with alternate realities. The most popular of these is named Second Reality. Oh, that sounds like Second Life. However, trouble has been spread there. To combat this, a special elite force is put together. Their code name is Nero. That's right. And if you actually want to check out the game, you can visit www.thisisnero.com/welcomereality. I'll give it to you again if you missed it. It's www.thisisnero.com/welcomereality. You can actually listen to several Nero tracks, including Guilt, Reaching Out, Departure, Innocence, and more. So... props, Nero. That's pretty cool. I like that. And I like dubstep, so I might actually go do that.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know if you've actually visited any of the dubstep clubs besides Second Life. They're pretty awesome.
They have dubstep clubs?
They do.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes, with some very awesome DJs. Yes. All right. So, suit up as the beloved and charming cast of the Muppets in Disney Universe. Yay. That sounds kind of cute.
It does.
Yeah, coinciding with the Blu-ray and DVD release of Disney's 2011 hit family comedy, The Muppets, Disney announced today the availability of the Muppets costume pack, and I'm going to totally lose my voice.
Please don't.
This weather is killing me. Ah, screw you, Texas. All right, so the Muppets, Disney announced today the availability of the Muppets costume pack downloadable content for Disney Universe. The latest addition to the ever-expanding video game experience is available now on the Xbox Live network and will be coming to the PlayStation Network later this month. The Muppets costume pack consists of new character costumes inspired by Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, the Great Gonzo. Gonzo! I loved Gonzo. Fozzie Bear and Animal! Yes, I loved Animal.
Animal is my favorite. He's so crazy.
Each character comes with a costume-specific upgradable tool. Individual costumes for the Muppets costume pack are available now for download on Xbox Live. The latest downloadable content for Disney Universe joins the previously released Phineas and Ferb level, the Jungle Book costume pack, the Nightmare Before Christmas level, and the Disney Villains costume pack. All right, so I'm looking for a price, and they are not giving me one. So I don't know. But anyways, this is live today, I think.
Woo!
A date.
That's exciting.
So, yeah. So if your kids or you happen to be into, you know, the whole Muppets and actually play the Disney Universe on Xbox Live, head over and get that.
You know, that's like super exciting. Aw. I kind of
want
that. Okay.
I'm going to try to get the screenshots up for this.
You totally need to put that up there. And so
these are cute.
Ginger is probably going to put that up on the website. So if you want to see it, it is my cat's doing something weird. What are you doing? Okay. Sorry, she distracted me. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Ginger's going to put it up on the website. So if you'd like to see it, you can actually go to, what are you doing? GameOfNature.com is the website. Sorry.
Every day, a live show.
It is. my cat's kind of freaking me out. Anyway, I'm going to do one that's kind of interesting to me. I can't say his name. Hideo Kojima.
Uh-huh.
He actually was the one who was responsible for Metal Gear Solid.
Uh-huh.
And we all know that Metal Gear Solid was kind of a controversial game. Like the subject matter of it was a little controversial.
Just slightly.
Just a little bit. Just a smidge.
Just a tiny little bit, yeah.
So this article I'm about to read is about him. I just want to give you a little backstory so you knew what I was talking about.
Okay.
Hideo Kojima, I really hope I'm saying your name right. If I'm not, I'm very sorry. He is known for addressing real-world issues in his games, and his next title will be no exception. Speaking at a questions and answers to mark the inclusion of Metal Gear Solid in the Smithsonian's Art of Video Games exhibit, the developer dropped a few intriguing hints of what he has coming next. He says, "The game I'm working on right now is dealing with quite a few issues that are pretty delicate and taboo." He said, through a translator, obviously, because he, you know, doesn't speak English. He says, "I'm not sure if they'll end up being in the final product or not, but that's something that I want to continue to strive for." He says it's his goal to bring those real-life issues to the forefront, but he has to temper that with making the game fun to play. He says that as a creator who constantly sees the flaws in his own work after it's finished, he always feels that what I'm making right now, in my mind, is the best, though I can't really talk about that right now. Kojima also mentioned visiting a military base in San Diego to test a shooting simulator, but again mentioned that he couldn't talk about the trip in detail. He didn't spill the identity of this new project, though. Previously, we've heard cryptic clues, including a lone screenshot, which you can probably find on the internet, about his new game, codenamed Project Ogre. He's given some indication that it could be tied to Metal Gear, but has also called it an open-world game. Ooh, that should be interesting. All we know for certain is that it will utilize the new Fox engine, which, again, you can actually look up on the internet if you want to find out about it. So Hideo Kojima is actually working on something that's probably going to be very controversial, going to stir up some conversation, and he makes good games, so I'm actually excited about it. Are you
Yay! I'm between coffee and my head off. Yes.
I'm actually really looking forward to that. I want to see what he has to do because he's brilliant.
He is.
He's
and
freaking
brilliant. While Metal Gear might have caused a little bit of controversy,
just a smidge.
Yes, a minute. It was good.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Okay, so federal court declares newspaper excerpts fair use. This is interesting, because this could actually affect us.
Yeah.
Earlier this month, the federal district court in Nevada issued a declaratory judgment that made it a lot harder for copyright holders to file lawsuits over excerpts of material being used on websites and online forums. The judgment is a direct blow to law firms like Right Haven, who filed a ton of lawsuits against websites claiming they had infringed on copyright holders it represented. No more Benadryl before the show, ever again, I swear. Judge Roger Hunt ruled that the Democratic Underground did not infringe the copyright of a Las Vegas Review-Journal newspaper article when a user posted a five-sentence excerpt in its forums, along with a link back to the newspaper's website. You know what? At least they linked back to your website. You still got the darn hits. Come on.
I know. Exactly.
Judge Roger Hunt's judgment sets a precedent, noting that an online forum is not liable for its user's post, even if it was not protected by the safe harbors of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act's notice and takedown provisions. This decision also clarifies that posting excerpts from an article and including a link is fair use and not an infringement of copyright. Oh my God, thank you. This case, I wonder if this is going to affect like YouTube videos. You know how people put up the videos? I wonder if they like link them back to the
artist's site. I don't know because it's not just words though.
It's not, but especially if it's the actual video and they link it back and say, you know, this is where I got it from, this is where you can buy it, da-da-da-da-da.
Maybe. If they link it back to your stuff, if they give you credit for it, I don't really see the issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue I would have with someone using my words is if they try to put it off as theirs.
That would be my issue.
Because if they gave me credit for it, if they gave me props, then basically they're giving me free press. Because somebody's going to want to, if they're interested, they're gonna be like, oh, hey, you know, they're pretty good, so I'm going to go look up their stuff too.
Yeah. All right, so apparently the original lawsuit against Democratic Underground was dismissed when Judge Hunt found that Right Haven did not have the legal authorization to bring a copyright lawsuit because it had never owned the copyright in the first place. Hey, dudes, if you're going to sue, you might actually want to own. Just saying.
Yeah, right?
They claimed that Stevens Media had transferred copyright to them before they filed the lawsuit, but a document unearthed during the course of the lawsuit, the strategic alliance agreement between Right Haven and Stevens Media showed that the copyright assignment was not legal and that Right Haven was merely agreeing to handle the case at its own expense in exchange for a cut of the recovery. In addition to dismissing Right Haven's claim, Judge Hunt sanctioned the firm with fines and to report to other judges its relationships with Stevens Media. Right Haven has refused to pay the sanctions. That's not good. You know what, though? I like this because there are these companies, and I mean, hell, this is what Apple's actually going up against right now with the whole iPad thing where they're not going to be able to sell in Japan because, you know, they bought copyrights, but no, they didn't buy them all. And, you know, these companies are making big bucks. They are sweeping up all of these different copyrights or these companies so that they can own the copyrights, and then they're suing everybody just to get that money. And that is ridiculous, and it's not fair, and it shouldn't be happening. So, Judge Hunt, this is awesome. Thank you so much for standing up to the little guy.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
Somebody did.
Sorry, I was looking at something from Penny Arcade. I have a story.
I love Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade's hilarious.
Yes.
Something is wrong with them, really. The story I'm about to read is also a little controversial for various reasons. Let me go ahead and read it, and then we can discuss it. It's from GamePolitics.com. It's representatives from the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, and California's Attorney General's Office will address mobile app safety for children at the Digital Kids Conference on Wednesday, April 25th, from 3:45 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. You know, there's an address, so I'm not going to give you the address. The Federal Trade Commission staff attorney Kenneth H. Abbey and Travis LeBlanc, Special Assistant Attorney General for Technology for the State of California, will deliver their remarks on the topic as part of conference's Digital Kids Safety Track. They will address safety and privacy concerns the mobile space presents for children and how requirements of the new Children's Online Privacy Protection Act could affect business compliance. The talk is geared towards social networks, online games, mobile apps, virtual worlds, and related product makers. The Digital Kids Safety Track is co-produced by Engage Digital and Kids Safe Seal Program. They also have a link. You can go to digitalkidscon.com to check it out. I kind of agree with this, and then I kind of don't. I agree that kids need some kind of protection because there are a lot of dirty games out there. I know because I find most of them. I play most of them. So there's a lot of dirty stuff out there on the internet, a lot of stuff kids don't need to see. But then again, it should not be up to the government alone to say or to police this for children. The parents, the guardians, the loved ones of the child, the people who are taking care of the children, those are the ones that should be very well aware of what their child is doing on the internet. And if you are not well aware, you need to get there. You need to become technologically savvy because I'm telling you, these kids will run circles around you if you don't know what you're doing. They really, really will. And digital kids, good in the sense that kids do need protection, bad in the sense that parents are going to use it as kind of a scapegoat and say, well, you guys are supposed to be protecting my child. You're supposed to have some sort of warning system, or you're not supposed to make it so they can't play it. No, no. It's your job as a guardian of this child to make sure that your child is not doing something not supposed to do in a virtual space.
Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you. For Christ's sake, please, parents, your children, you push them out of your crotch. At least you could do is raise them.
Oh, that was fabulous.
And I don't mean it, like, in a bad way. I mean, because I love kids. Don't get me wrong. I don't have any of my own. I have nephews. I have friends with kids. I spoil them rotten. They're adorable. But so many of you let the TV and let the games and everything else raise your children because you're too busy with whatever. And seriously, just make some time. Just a little bit of time.
But honestly, you need to, and I know that a lot of people are not aware of what technology is out there. They don't know how to use the technology. And if you don't, you need to learn. Because exactly. Your kids know.
Your kids do know. My 3-year-old, yeah, he turned 3 this past weekend. That's why I was down there. 3-year-old nephew was totally working the iPad, showing my parents how to use it. It was hilarious.
Yeah, you totally need to learn the technology because your kids know. And they're going to use that knowledge to do things that they're not supposed to do because that's just how kids are. You tell them they can't do something, they want to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he had the whole little thing. He was going through all the games. He was showing them everything. He was showing them, you know, they were wanting to surf the internet for something. He was showing them how to do it. And he's 3! Oh, he's so cute, though.
Oh, I know.
So adorable.
And since that was short, I'm going to do another one.
Okay, what you got?
We are going to talk about Assassin's Creed 3. Ubisoft has been revealed, Ubisoft Annecy has been revealed as a studio behind Assassin's Creed 3's multiplayer component. An update on designer Tim Brown's Twitter and LinkedIn profile notes that he is lead game designer on Assassin's Creed 3 multiplayer, specifically adding that he'll be working with Ubisoft Annecy. Ubisoft Annecy Studio is known as the multiplayer developer for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, in addition to assisting with the multiplayer in Assassin's Creed Revelations. Brown, meanwhile, previously worked for Codemasters, serving as a designer on Operation Flashpoint, Red River, and Dragon Rising. Little is known about the multiplayer for Assassin's Creed 3. Previously, a product listing on Xbox.com hinted that the game will feature online co-op, which is exciting. The same listing also confirmed 2-to-8-player online multiplayer, though no additional details were provided. Assassin's Creed 3 is set to launch on October 30th on Xbox 360, PC, and PlayStation 3, and a Wii U release has also been confirmed, though the version's release date is currently unknown. You can also check out the Assassin's Creed 3 wiki for all the details that they know. Just look it up online, you can find it. So, yay, Assassin's Creed 3, Assassin's Creed
3,
you are going to have some multiplayer going on. Hopefully it will be a multiplayer online co-op, which will be super exciting.
Yes,
super exciting.
Super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is kind of neat. More from game politics.
And I think this will be our last story, by the way.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Remission game has positive effect on active players. Hope Lab and Stanford University researchers have released new data showing that the video game Remission can help activate parts of the brain involved in positive motivation. Remission is a video game designed for cancer patients about killing cancer in the body. Researchers say that the game affects reward-related activation in the brain, which represents attitudes and emotions that can help boost a patient's adherence to prescribed chemotherapy and antibiotic treatments. The study shows how these effects might have occurred and how active participation in gameplay events can improve the brain's positive motivation abilities. This is so neat.
It is. I love that. Love it.
Yes. The study compared the brain scans of 57 people who were randomly selected to play Remission or to passively watch the same recorded gameplay, similar to watching a movie with the exact same information but no direct participation in the gameplay events. Results of the functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI, showed that neural circuits related to reward activated strongly while players were actively playing Remission, but not when they were resting or when the other players passively observed the same gameplay events. This is neat. Active involvement in video gameplay sparks positive motivation in a way that watching and hearing information does not. This is coming from Steve Cole, PhD, Vice President of Research and Development at Hope Lab. Oh, he's got a really long title. That's just as far as I'm going to go with it. All participants in the study received the same information. It was the active participation in gameplay that made the big difference in motivation. This study helps refine our recipe for success in harnessing the power of play in the service of health. That is awesome. All right, so in Remission, players pilot a microscopic robot called Roxy as she travels through the bodies of fictional cancer patients, killing cancer cells and battling the side effects of cancer and cancer treatments. Remission was created by Hope Lab specifically for adolescents and young adults with cancer. All right, so you want to learn more about this? You can head over to hopelab.org. And this is awesome. I love this. See, gaming is not bad. Gaming is not evil. Gaming can actually be very, very good. So people who are saying it's evil, stop it.
And actually, there's been a lot of study about this. There's been a lot of study that, for example, you can have a scientific study where you have two groups of people, control group and a non-control group, and the control group is giving a placebo, but they're told that it's medication, and the other group is given the actual medication and told that it's medication. So both of them think they're taking the same thing, and in some studies, it's actually shown that they have pretty much the same result, because what happens is the body has a tendency, like if you are positive about things, if you think that you're getting better, if you think that you're feeling better, your body's going to react to the point where you do feel better. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that you should be totally holistic and totally, you know, not go to the doctor and stuff. But what I'm saying is while you are going through your treatment, you need to be positive and you need to think that you're getting better because that will help.
Yes,
positive outlook does
brain
help.
Brain is a very powerful tool, a very powerful organ within us. And
absolutely. And this game does so much for the morale of cancer patients that I think it's fabulous. Whoever came up with this, kudos. I would give you a big hug and a kiss if I could.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know who you are. I don't even care what you look like. You deserve a hug and a kiss, I'm telling you.
Yes. Yes, totally.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's it. That's all we have time for. You can tune in tomorrow. Hopefully Corey will be here to do the news. And if not, then Ginger will be doing it solo because she can do that.
Yes. Yes, I can. I'm a little bit scared.
You can do it. And tune in on Thursday. We will have our normal rocking out show, you know, where we're all like and raw, and we can talk about penises all the time. All right. And that's it, boys and girls. Favorite us if you like us. Favorite us if you don't, because that'll teach us a lesson.
Mm-hmm. A pool of light, people Later, boys and girls. Mwah!